Say with your voices. Let's get into it. We don't need a bumper or anything for this. I want us to, you know, this last week we spoke on Jezebel's voice. The morning we spoke on Rhema, and you know, something just began to leap in my spirit when it comes to the importance of the voice of God. So I'm just starting off slowly. We'll get into preaching right now. Is that okay? I'm just starting to start off slowly. And in the mornings we teach, I need the scripture to be opened up to you so that you can understand. And especially when it comes to this subject, a lot of people are looking for what we call spectacular guidance, spectacular way of communication from God. Just flow with me. I don't hear anything, any music or anything. So just flow with me. Don't just keep it one tone, okay? That's just flow with me. If I preach, just flow with me, please. So a lot of people are looking for spectacular guidance. They're looking for spectacular ways on how God ministers, to meaning that they are preconceiving or pre-perceiving a God to speak to them in a vision or a dream only or angelic visitation, and they miss where God speaks to them every day. God does not speak spectacular unless it is urgent or an emergency. Are you guys with me? If I speak to my daughter and I say to my daughter, don't go walk across the road without me, and she doesn't listen, and there I see she walks across the road. As I see her walking, I might begin to scream at her and say, begin to scream loudly and say to her to get here. And I see she's getting closer or she's touching the road. I can now run and grab her and pull her out. What is the three different degrees that happened there? First, it was a still small voice, me talking in a normal conversation with her. But it didn't feel urgent. It didn't even feel important to her. Then I start screaming and now it's a vision. Are you guys with me? Or an audible voice or a dream. And then all of a sudden, I intervene where there's now a physical encounter. Maybe it is an angel or maybe it is a theophany, but it's something where God intervenes to pull you out of the road or out of the situation. And every one of us are waiting until we are there before we can hear God speak. And we wait until we are so much in trouble. And then it comes by God's grace and His mercy, not His necessity. It's not needed for God to intervene there. God does not owe us our life. Are you guys with me? That will be determining on election, on call and purpose, and the simply the grace of God. Meaning, if you don't have a strong call, you're going to be driven over by the car. Okay. Are you guys with me? I'm trying to make scripture practical to you. And you're going to see how scripture interprets scripture this morning. Because I'm presenting a problem to you. What is, how, why do so many Christians have this question to say, I don't know whether I should buy this car or not. Or let me go to my pastor or my prophet and ask them, you know, should I move my family to Cape Town or not? Should I take this business opportunity or not? Should I go overseas or not? Why is it that so many people have to go to someone to get an answer from God? When He says, my sheep hears my voice very clearly. Because there is some problem now. If His sheep hears His voice, why don't we hear His voice? Or why do we hear His voice by getting a vision for somebody else? But when it comes to our own lives, we cannot apply it. Are you guys with me? Somebody asked me, you know, when I say my pastor, my prophet, somebody asked me last week, they say, you know, they asked me genuinely. They said, I just want to ask you, you know, a lot of people say my pastor, and it's good, but why do your people say my prophet? I said, hold on, are you now racist? I said, you literally just told me that it is okay for people to say, my pastor said this, my pastor said that. But when it comes to my prophet said this, it now has something in you, are now upset. It should tell you how people are wired to hate the voice of God. So prophets automatically get resistance. Prophets are automatically rejected, trust me, by many. And those by whom they are embraced are usually fake, or are usually there for a motive. Are you guys with me? Because God said it is the inheritance of the prophets for their blood to be shed. It is the wisdom of God that I send you prophets, that you may persecute them and cause their blood to be shed. And God is saying, it is my wisdom to send Leon into this nation for him to be killed. It's my wisdom. Why? Because then I can judge everybody else for every other prophet they have come against. God is a system. He understands that in the hearts of people, they just don't like the word prophet. So I said to the person, are you hearing yourself right now? That you have a problem with my prophet, but not my pastor. And I know I use this example many times, but it literally happened last week. And it was a good person, no bad intentions. They were just asking a genuine question. They realized when I told them, I said, let's not get spiritual racism. Let's not get legalistic. You know, I said, one of my friends one day told me, what is this thing that some prophets call themselves senior prophets? I said, well, I said, you're very hypocritical, because I see on your website, you write a whole letter on your homepage and you sign it off by saying senior pastor so-and-so. So you are allowed to call yourself senior pastor, which is not scriptural. But you come against others who call themselves senior prophet, which is scriptural. But where is it scriptural, John? The Bible says that Elijah was a master prophet over Elisha and over all the other prophets in the school. Samuel stood as a prophet, as a senior prophet over all the others. Okay, are you guys with me? So it's scriptural. So I said, so actually you're not scriptural, and they are, but you are attacking them. Religion has protruded your mind, has interfered. And that is how quickly religion can come in. And we make up man beliefs and men, doctrines of men. Are you guys with me? And we think it is God. Tonight I'm going to get very deep here. I'll be here in Centurion. We're going to get very deep on what sin is. And it's not going to be something that you heard before. It's not like, okay, sin is transgression and sin is missing the mark. No. You'll see how there was man-made systems. So that once you can hear this revelation, it will remove condemnation from you. That you can clearly hear the voice of God. Because we have made up sins which are not sins. And we have measured one another according to it. Are you guys with me? We have measured one another. I have so many times pastors that are phoning me saying, this one in my church is doing this and I must tell them to stop doing this. I said to the one person, I said, I have never, ever in my church told anybody to stop doing something. From as long as I can remember in ministry, maybe in my infant stages, I have been passionate and legalistic and so on. But in my ministry, I have never told anyone to stop doing something. If somebody smokes, I leave them. The Holy Ghost will convict them. If somebody drinks, I leave them. The Holy Ghost will convict them. If the Holy Ghost doesn't convict them, he is not in the church. Are you guys with me? His presence is not here. But what is sin? It's going to set you free tonight. Trust me. Are you guys with me? So say with your voices. Say it again. Say voices. So yesterday, last week, we discussed, we went into Rhema, the power of the piercing voice of God. That is the double-edged, double two-mouthed sword. Then we went into the evening into Jezebel's voice. If Jezebel's voice has so much power to drive a prophet of God after the greatest success and victory to a place of suicide, just by her voice, there's something that we are missing. That means that if we can hear the voice of God, if the devil or one of his servants, as we call it, the tramp Jezebel, just by her voice has the ability to stop success of a prophet, how much more can the voice of God, when you hear his voice and speak his voice, cause success in your life? It will be an insult for nothing to happen to you when you speak the word of God upon your life or over your life, and when you hear his voice and you become his voice, it'll be an insult to him when nothing, no change is taking place in your life. Are you guys with me? Have you seats? So we looked at the voice of Jezebel. And this morning I want to get to more about the voice of God. Say with me, God's guidance system. Luke 1, let's go to Luke 1 verse 76. So what is the problem? I want to present a problem to you, which is, how can Christians who claim to have the Holy Ghost not know what decisions to make in their personal lives? They don't know where to go. They don't know where to move. They don't know what job to take. Some can be in churches for 30 years. They haven't been taught anything regarding the voice of God. Some have been and they are taught, and they are just seeing their pastor speaking about visions and dreams, and they are giving a false perception. Not even the pastor had visions and dreams, but they are given a false perception of what it is when God speaks. Now we know God speaks in visions and dreams. The Bible says that in the last days he shall pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall prophesy, your old men shall dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And on your men servants, your maid servants, I will pour out my spirit. So we understand that the Holy Ghost will speak in visions and dreams. Okay? But that is what I call spectacular guidance. Spectacular guidance doesn't come every day. If it does, it is very rare. It is the exception. And it would come with great election, those who have a great election upon their lives. Trust me. Are you guys with me? And then relative to serious decisions, for example, with us, God is not going to give me a vision on what car I need to buy. He's not going to give me a dream on what car I need to buy. But he will send an angel relative to what decision I need to make for the ministry. Because it involves many people. It involves his purpose, his will, his kingdom. Are you guys with me? He will send me a vision or a dream regarding decisions for the ministry, but not, he will not do the same regarding my own personal life. Now people say, but what about my business? Is your business kingdom related or not? Are you guys with me? How much is it influencing and impacting the kingdom? That'll determine how God will speak to you, because it will determine then how important or valuable he finds you in his kingdom. And that will determine the degree of this voice speaking to you to make sure you get the message. Are you guys with me? I'm telling you now, if somebody, let's say you have someone that is supporting the kingdom of God, and that person has a business, and they're feeding, I don't know how many hungry people, feeding how many hungry children. They give 1 or 2 million a month to a church, or then they are watching over orphans. I'm telling you, the moment they want to make a decision, they'll have a visitation of God. Because it's concerning the lives of others. God is not going to leave it up to just ambiguity for them. But when it comes to just our everyday lives, things that are not in relation to the kingdom, and that is 90% of your lives, okay? What car do I buy? Do I sell my house or not? Who do I marry? Where do I move to? Where do I move my family? God will speak in ambiguity. Or let me not say he will speak in ambiguity. It will come to us in ambiguity. We will hear it in ambiguity because of our fallen state. But there is a shortcut. Are you guys with me? Let's go to Luke 1 verse 76. Listen to this. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. For you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of God, with which the days before when I speak about Jesus, has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Now, this is all good, but listen to this. To guide our feet. Say with me, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So, why do we have these questions if his sheep hears his voice? Why do we have questions on what decision to make, on who to marry, if his sheep hears his voice? Are you guys with me? So with your voices. So I'm presenting a problem. You don't know what job to take. You don't know who to marry, who to date, or who not to date, or to begin date. Dating must be for marriage. You don't know if you should sell your house or not. You don't know if you should take this job proposition or not. You don't know if you should move your family. Everybody says Cape Town, maybe I should also go. And your foundation is not based on whether God said. It's based on the fears of the economy. Are you guys with me? So then there's a certain degree that God speaks, but I'm going to take you a higher degree. Then there's a degree where God speaks where you can now say, okay, let me pray about it. And I'm going to pray about it until I get peace. That's a low level. Are you guys with me? Because even after you make the decision, you're going to have doubt. Did I make the right decision? Even though you had peace, you're going to say, did I make the right decision? But there's a law called the state of being, where we can enter into with peace, using peace. I'm speaking about a state of existence, a state of being, a realm of existence, where it is emphatically impossible for you to make a wrong decision. And let's get into, I'm going to show you scripture. I'm not thinking up stuff. Are you guys with me? So listen to this. It says, Luke 1 verse 76, as the intro scripture, he will guide our feet into the way of peace. Once you understand the way of peace, you will live in God's perfect will. It is his perfect guidance system. It is God's perfect guidance system. It is his GPS, which can take you and guide you exactly to tell you. Like the book of Isaiah says, you'll hear a voice that will speak behind you and will tell you go left or go right in your way here. But a voice will come from behind you and tell you exactly where to go. Every step you take will be in his perfect will. Are you guys with me? Have your seats, have your seats. So go into Philippians 4 verse 6. And as I said again, God can speak spectacularly. And many people expect to only hear God in a spectacular way, which is visions and dreams and this. Listen, so many people call me, I have this vision about you, I have this dream. I just ignore them. First of all, you don't know rank. Oh, but don't think you're anything. God can speak to anyone. Shut up. Your ignorance of scripture does not determine me having to listen to you or not. I protect this temple. And you know how this temple gets defiled? By divination and false teaching, not sexual immorality. Yes, I know you thought it was sexual immorality. Okay, or piercings, or this, or that. No, no, no. There are two places where Paul speaks about the defilement of the temple. Let me not get into, but the one he speaks, which is more predominantly, when you listen to false teachings, when somebody prophesies over you that's not a prophet, or that's not operating by the spirit of prophecy, but operating from the spirit of divination, or the imagination of their own hearts, there comes a defilement on you. And it brings confusion relative to a decision you need to make or the call of God on your life. Are you guys with me? I mean, Tonya sitting there, and this is not to demean you in any order or say anything. I'm just going to use a small example. I mean, now you're married and you have peace and all this stuff. But one prophecy many, many years ago by a wrong person caused a detour in a life. Because what? It simply brought confusion as what to do. That's all. The prophet prophesied out of his own imagination. Do you know how many prophets make up their own words? It just sounds good to say you're going to be a multi-trillionaire and God is going to send you to the nations. God isn't saying nothing. And that is how the prophetic has become defiled. And that is why people don't want to live. Why don't I prophesy a lot? It's precious. If I do it a lot, it'll become cheap. And those who are doing it a lot right now, you'll see many of them have followed our ministry and thinking. Some of them came to my office and said, is it the prophetic that's growing your church? No, it's not. It's the word of God. It's not the prophetic. The prophetic will empty your church. And then they think, you know, it's the prophetic that grows. Then they go and they prophesy every night, prophesy, prophesy, prophesy. And you're sitting there and it's clouds without water. Words, empty words, and it deceives people. And they can listen and be upset with me, but it's the truth, and you know it is the truth. And it's just they puffing up the people. I'm listening to this prophetic words, and I'm thinking, oh dear Lord Jesus, I don't speak to somebody unless I hear God. Like I was walking here, and Louis, I saw your face as you were standing there, and just simply God said to me, I must tell you, when it comes to your business, there's a breakthrough you've been praying for and a decision and decisions. And the Lord is saying to me, in the next, He's going to begin to answer. The answer is around the corner. I don't know if I saw like this year or next year, but I saw a paper. I saw something new where the Lord is saying He's going to bless you for things you've done behind the scenes. And the Lord is saying to me, as I just saw your face, as I was walking, He said to me, tell him something fresh is coming for his business that he's been waiting for long. Because I have said it and I've spoken it, and I will do what I've spoken, says the Spirit of the Lord. That was during worship. Now, that is just one little word that I have to give. Why do I have to say his name or names of his family? I already know him. You understand what I'm saying? But I can tell him, you know, the Bible says, if a prophet speaks in my name, prophesies, and it comes to pass, fear him. If it does not come to pass, do not fear him. Which means the element of prophecy, the element of the legitimacy of prophecy and the credibility of prophecy is locked up in the fulfillment of the prediction that comes to pass. Tonya, you're going to marry, or no, you're going to have a divine relationship with somebody like this name. And she gets married by that name. So if anybody can come to her and say Leon is a false prophet, she will be laughing it off. Because prophecy is not based upon the past and the present. Facebook can make you a true prophet with that. Everything. Are you guys with me? But the prediction, God only knows the future. The devil can tell you the past, but God is the one who lives in the future. That once there's a prediction, it comes to pass. Or it comes to fulfillment. Put on Philippians 4 verse 6 for me. Lados kadredena. I want to get into this word. I needed to. I don't want to get distracted. I needed to land for you this morning. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication. Say with me, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There's a lot of conditions here. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Say with me, will God will protect and will fight for you. Your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. The peace of God will guard. The word God in the Greek is garrison. It is forces that is put around a certain area, a property or a castle or a people as a garrison and guards to fight off and protect any enemy to infiltrate. That is what a garrison is. So peace is not defensive and passive. It's offensive. It fights. It protects. Are you guys with me? And it says the peace of God, which surpasses, which goes beyond every understanding. Meaning your understanding says that you are not going to have enough money for rent this month. But the peace of God goes beyond the understanding and the logic and tells you that you will have enough. Don't worry. Why? The peace of God will go out and fight for you. It surpasses all understanding. And then it says, which guards your hearts. Say with me, guard your heart and mind. So now it is the garrison that is placed around your heart and around your mind to protect you from every thought coming in. You know, when people always, you know, I get so tired of people. Sometimes I don't know if it is a mental condition, but they'll always say, you know, I have a problem with my heart. I'm battling with my heart. I battle with my heart. Shut up. Just receive the fivefold, you know. Because I can understand. You say it once. But after 5 years of making mistakes, oh, I'm battling with my heart. Grow up. The peace of God. The peace of God guards your heart and your mind. Now it protects your mind from any thought that comes in. Any thought that says you're rejected. You are not good enough. You're not going to make it. Everything's going to be taken away from you. You will have no money. Your relationships are going bad because of you. Your family doesn't like you because of you. You're not going to grow up to attain everything. Anything. And it's these fiery darts that comes at your mind. The peace of God is absent in your life. Are you guys with me? And as I said, tonight we're speaking about exactly what is sin. Because so many people made it so legalistic that, they made it legalistic. And I'm not even going to touch on if you think we're going to speak about transgression and sin and missing the mark. Nothing of that. But to give you a revelation of the Word of God, what God thinks about it, what it is. And it is not what you think it is. So that condemnation can be gone. That the voice of God can be heard. Because condemnation stifles the voice of God. We have made up things in our mind to be sin that is not sin. And then we judge ourselves by it without God even judging. And He's just standing there. We have said drinking is sin and smoking is sin. And I'm not saying do those things. Somebody asked me, is smoking a demon on our demonology course? I said, look, I don't know. But I don't think so. I just think it's stupidity. I'm sorry if you do smoke, but I do say you're stupid. That's all. I'm not saying it's a sin even. Because if I give you this glass, but first I write on there, if you drink this, you will die. Now I give it to you to drink. You're not going to drink it. But we smoke while we say that we will die and get cancer. So for me, it is stupidity. So is it sin? No, it's not sin. And I'm going to break the... I understand now to confuse everybody. People are going to say, Leon says we can smoke. I never said that. Well, I'm going to explain the scriptures tonight. Because you can have one person that judges another one for smoking. And that one is so overweight, busy dying of diabetes because of too much sugar. I'm serious. But no, we're perfect because and we look on the external. They just have this cigarette in their hand. They are the one that's evil. And so the church have lost the Spirit of God and has lost revival. Are you guys with me? Because we have made God's relationship, His voice, and sin in relation to the externals. While He's a God that looks upon the heart, not upon the external. Nowhere in the scripture does it say you smoke will go to hell. Or is a sin or is a demon. Please see how we have made up stuff, people. And I don't smoke. I don't drink. And I'm telling you, very few people smoke or drink in our church. I'm not saying it's... If no one smokes or drinks, we have a problem. Because then we're not reaching the lost. Okay, so I would rather have people smoking and drinking. But, and I mean by that, because not that you have to smoke to learn the loss, but then there's no loss in your church that's smoking or drinking. Because if you have just perfect people, Jesus didn't come for the healthy. He came for those who were sick. So what am I saying is that we can be so judgmental when it comes to and make up sins that the Bible never said is a sin. And then we think that we are now righteous because we don't do it. And that's the greater deception. Because now self-righteousness. And we think we're better than that one that is doing it. You understand what I'm saying? I cast the demons out while I was smoking. When I got saved. I'm serious. Are you guys with me? You see people living, that's just for Krugersdorp. When I got saved, it took me about 4 or 5 months to stop smoking. And I was very close to God. And I already casted out demons, prayed for people while I still battled with smoking. Yeah, but that's going to be a thing that I have to carefully unpack tonight. Okay. Because it is just things that has made me so upset for so many years. Of how people judge and how they live and how they see themselves to be perfect. So say with me, the way of peace. So we see that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. But now it says, listen, the way for the peace of God to come in your life, you need to have all prayer, supplications, requests, and thanksgiving. Meaning you ought to go into your room and apply prayer, everything in need that you have. Not tell somebody else, but get on your knees and tell God. The moment you do it, He says the peace of God will come to you. So you see, there's mechanics to this thing. There's a way, the peace of God doesn't just come by me asking for the peace of God. The only thing that comes by me asking is wisdom. So we have to get to scripture. The Bible says, ask of me wisdom and I'll give it to you freely. It doesn't say, ask of me peace. He says, the way peace comes is when you bring your need to me, your prayers, your supplications, and your request, and then your thanksgiving, that all of those are fulfilled, then the peace of God will come upon your life. Are you guys with me? Let's get into an example. Let's go to the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 9, verse 27. And I want to get through this message. 1 Samuel 9 verse 27. Now listen to this. Now this is Saul, and we see how Saul was an example of a person who started well but ended up not well. He was in position for 40 years and anointed only for 2 years. So you can be in position for 40 years and only be on it. So he was anointed for 2 years. He was fired for 38 years and he didn't know it. Many preachers are fired. They just don't know it. They're in position. But God has already left them. The employment, God is, there's no more money even going. You know, a lot of times people say, I'm full-time ministry, but there's just no money. And I'm not speaking of a persecuted country or anything. I'm speaking in a place where others are blessed. And they're going for years and there's just nothing, not 1 cent. If I employ somebody, let me say it like this. Let's say Gerard is employed to play piano, but he doesn't want to play piano. I employed him to play piano, but the whole time he's on the bass guitar and he's playing bass guitar. And we're getting to a service and he's playing the bass guitar. But I paid him. It'll be a matter of a few weeks. I'm going to fire him. Or if he can't play a little bit of bass guitar, I'm leaving to play the bass guitar. I'm just not going to pay him. Because I paid him for the piano. And so it is in the kingdom. You only get provision in the purpose that you are called in. If you miss your purpose, the provision will be lacking. God hasn't called you there. Are you guys with me? So 1 Samuel 9 verse 27, listen to this. As they were going down to the outskirts of the city. Samuel the prophet said to Saul, tell the servant to go on ahead of us. And he went on. He said to Saul, listen, because Saul came to Samuel to look for his father's donkeys. And he said, listen, tell your servant to go ahead of us. But you stand here a while so that I may announce to you the word of God. So Samuel said to Saul, listen here, I need to prophesy to you privately. I need to prophesy to you, not with anybody around. So tell your servant to move on, because the word I'm giving to you is sensitive. So there's prophecy that can be public, and there's prophecy that must be private. Are you guys with me? 1 Samuel 10 verse 1. Let me read from 1 Samuel 10 verse 1. Listen to this. So this is where Samuel was prophesying now over Saul. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? Please understand, God never called him as a king. As a captain and a commander over his inheritance. When you have departed from me today. Now listen to this. I want you to understand this. Listen to this prophecy. Speaking about forensic and prediction. Samuel said to him, when you depart from me today, listen to this, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb, two men in the territory of Benjamin and Zalzah, and they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. This is the exact words they will even speak to you, Samuel said. And your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then they will even tell you what somebody else is saying. Then you shall go on forth from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. Are you guys getting how Samuel prophesied? 1 Samuel 10 verse 5. After that, he says, then after that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen that when you have come there to the city, that you will meet a group of prophets. Say with me, a group of prophets, a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them. And they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord, say with me, then. So, listen to this. So, Samuel is prophesying all this stuff over Saul. He's saying, you'll meet this one, that one, they'll carry this in their hands, they'll speak this to you word for word, because nothing that Samuel prophesied fell to the ground without being fulfilled. How does that mean? That everything Samuel said, God performed. That is why when Samuel was about to anoint David as king, and he was about to miss it and choose one of his brothers, God stopped him and said, Samuel, let's not go down this road again, because I gave my word that everything that comes out of your mouth will come to pass. So if you say that Eliab will be king and not David, we're going to sit with another problem, because I have to honor the word that comes out of your mouth. Are you guys with me? So when he said, surely this must be the Lord's anointed, God intervened and said, no, I do not look as man looks, for I look upon the heart. Move on, it's not him. And then he gets to the next brother and he said, surely this is the anointed of the Lord. So it tells you how Samuel missed it. So the fact that his words never fall to the ground doesn't mean he doesn't miss it. It just means God honors every word that he says. He changed the era of the prophetic. Are you guys with me? So then it says, then, say with me, then. So Saul, all these things are going to happen to you. But only once you are in the company of prophets, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. And you will prophesy with them. Now here comes the phrase I want to focus on. And be turned into another man, and let it be, listen to this, If there's anything you have to remember, it's this portion tonight, this morning. Just verse pause. Let me read from verse 6 again. So forget everything of the Samuel that I read right now. Remember this. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. Say, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. You'll be changed into another man. And now verse 7, listen to this. And let it be when these signs come to you. What signs? The Spirit of the Lord that's coming upon you. And that you're turned into another man. That you do as the occasion demands. For God is with you. In other words, you can choose to do whatever you want, and it will be God's perfect will. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. He says, put your hands to anything that you desire, and God is with you. Whatever the occasion, if the occasion requires you to buy a house, buy a house. If the occasion requires you to move your family, move your family. I will get to the point now. Are you guys with me? If the occasion demands for you to give money or do this or marry that one, do it. Because God is with you. But we're sitting with a problem. Have your seats. Because the problem is, okay, but then I can do my own things. Are you guys with me? But then, how is it? And every decision, no. There are requirements before that. He says, if these signs is like, as I said, then whatever the occasion demands, do it. But when these signs come to you, what are these signs? Number one, Saul, you must be so filled with the Spirit of God to overflowing. Are you guys with me? So that to the degree where you are turned into another man. Now please understand, I spoke to you about the peace of God being a degree of the voice of God. So I get to a situation, I pray until I have peace. That is a lower state of spirituality. Are you guys with me? It's a lower state of spirituality. I have to get to a place, pray until I have peace. I have to go and ask my prophet, ask my pastor, ask this, what is the best decision? Pray about it, and then I have peace, and then I do it. It is a lower state of spirituality. There's a higher realm called the law of state of being, where the state of your being is completely changed into another being, where the state of your existence is changed into another state of existence, where you go from glory to glory, where the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed completely by the renewing of your mind. Be changed, metamorphosis, metamorpho. Where Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17 verse 20, he was standing with his disciples, with Peter, James and John, and he was standing there, and then all of a sudden his face changed. And when they looked at him, he was a different person in the way that he looked. He was changed into another person. His actual glory. And Saul, it happened the same. Samuel said, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. And when you're so full of the Spirit, you will change the very state of your being. And you will be turned into another man. The man that God has destined for you long before the foundations of this world. That once you are turned into that man, you are now the God man, not the carnal man. Once you are the God man, every decision you make is just right. Because it's not made in your flesh, it's not made in your carnality, it's made by the Spirit of God. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. There's a place and a state of being where you can be so filled with the Spirit that you don't even think, what is God's choice? You just walk and you just do it. As the occasion demands, because you're baptized in another state of being. It is where Jesus, in Luke chapter number 4 verse 1, where the Bible says that he was baptized by John the Baptist, the heavens opened and he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost at the same time. Are you guys with me? And he went out of there into the wilderness. But the Bible says these words, it says he was driven by the Holy Ghost. Your translation says led, but in the actual Greek, it is driven. So Jesus was forced into the wilderness by the Holy Ghost because he was another man. It was not himself. Are you with me? Are you tired? You look like you're falling asleep somewhere. I saw four people, they're just sitting. Hey, he turned into another man. There's a state of being and a state of existence. If you're sitting like that, you're definitely not the other man. You're the carnal man. And you're going to make carnal decisions. You're going to make wrong decisions. Are you guys with me? Why do people jump up? Their spirit is alive. Their spirit resonates with the word that we're preaching. Okay, once it resonates, the Bible says that the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped at the greeting of Mary. The spirit leaped. Being that once revelation comes, it'll bring a bounciness in your spirit. It is a sign of being spirit-filled. I'll show you out of scripture now. Have your seats, have your seats. Then you are in this place where you are changed into another man. The God man. Every decision you make is just right. It's in the will of God. You know, when people ask me, one person phoned me, a friend of mine, he says, Leon, a big, big minister. I said, Leon, he says, you made some bad decisions. Just in the week, he said, you made some bad decisions a few years ago. I said, oh. I said, if I didn't make them, I wouldn't be where I am now. I said, so what looked for you as bad decisions was God decisions. It just didn't fit your agenda because he was thinking, the only conclusion people ask me, the only conclusion I can tell them is you're an expert in marketing. I said, no. I had no choice. When I think back, it's not like I had a choice and I made the right decision or the wrong. No, I was driven into it. I was forced into it. Because my life was baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not of yesterday's baptism or 20 years ago's baptism. The Bible says, be ye filled every day with the Spirit. And I was so driven that I chose to make decisions that I almost had no part of to play in. Which means my life became automatic. Are you guys with me? This is a word that is not for AFM. It's not for in here. And please don't let me mention other church names. Okay. Definitely not Hillsong. I'm just joking. Okay. It's for Encounter. It's for you. Because if I preach this at another place, I'm going to be labeled a heretic. But I trust that you can carry the meat of the word. That you can carry and be able to swallow and not choke on the meat of the word. There's a place where you can walk in and live, where your life becomes automatic. And you just say, but I've just made every right decision. And you know, I would usually, before I had this revelation, I would use this phrase and say to people, it just feels like I'm winning the jackpot all the time. Many of you might have heard me say that. It's the only way I could articulate it. But it is not that, then I understood through the scriptures, but wait, it is not me making decisions. It is the Holy Ghost forcing and driving me. Making automatic decisions for my life because I've yielded to Him. It's no longer I who live, but it is Christ that dwells and lives in me, that makes the decisions in me. Ah. Are you guys with me? Have your seats, have your seats. And this is a very, very big word, so I'm trying to get through it quickly. But just to paraphrase something. So number one, the Spirit of God must be in me. Number two, you must be turned into another man. And you must do whatever you want because God is with you. But you can only do number three if you have fulfilled the other two. Are you guys with me? But you will know how you fulfill the other two. I'm going to explain to you now. You see, at stage three, where you can do whatever you want and God is with you, it is where your thinking, your decision, your inclination are so controlled under the will of God. You just choose right as you go. And people don't live in this realm, and hence they live a life of mistakes. So we are not saying to you to discern the voice of God and to know what is right. No. Get into a state of being where everything you just do is right. Are you guys with me? You're forced from the inside to make a certain right decision. Now, so this is God's guidance system. But depending on your state of, say with me, state of being. Depending on your state of being, you will need different types of guidance. Depending on the degree, let me say it like that, of your state of being. Are you little filled, half filled, completely filled, will determine the type of guidance you will receive from God. The more your state of being is spirit filled, the less spectacular guidance you need. The more you are filled with the Holy Ghost, the less visions, the less dreams, the less angelic interventions you need. Because your spirit man will just automatically make the right decisions. The less you are filled, God has to now interfere and interrupt. As I use the explanation with my daughter running over the road, first I tell her not to. Then she disobeys and she runs closer and I start screaming. And then she gets on the road and I have to run and intervene. And we wait till we're in trouble. God has to send an angel. God has to. Let me give you an example. When I was supposed to plant the church, God still first spoke to me in a still small voice and I disobeyed. Why? Because of a system of religion I came out of, where everybody said, I will never be able to plant a church. Some said, I'm not allowed to plant a church. I was looking around for oversight. And I heard a still small voice and I ignored it immediately. That must be the devil, because man will never approve, and I won't do something without oversight approving. That is rebellion. Okay. So you must find a way to get the blessing and the blessing and blah, blah, blah. So, and then I ignored it. And then he came through a prophet and said, I see you having a church before the end of the year. I'm like, no, I'm not called to that. My first words were, I'm not called to that. That was a month of April. I said, I'm not called to that. There's no desire. There was no desire in me. I said, no desire. I respect you as a great prophet, but I just said, I think you're missing it on this one. And came July, an angel visited me. Why? I disobeyed God here. I disobeyed God here. Now I'm on the road where there's a danger point. He has to intervene with a spectacular guidance system to make me respond. Are you guys with me? So you get into a place where your state of being is completely changed into another man. When you're just praying for the peace of God, you will always have doubts and regrets. Did I make the right decision or not? Do you understand the message, at least? Okay. So Let me get a bit further. So, under the law of the state of being, there are three principles that are operating. Under the law of the state of being, what are the law of the state of being? To be turned into another man, where your being is changed. There are three principles that operate. Number one, to what degree am I spirit filled? Number two, to what degree am I being changed and transformed? Like Saul was turned into another man. Romans 12 verse 1 to 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Going from glory to glory in Corinthians chapter number 3, going from glory to glory. Matthew chapter number 17 verse 2, Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, changed and transfigured, metamorpho. To what degree is your life changed where the flesh is dead? And when people look at you, you are so full of light. You're bouncy. There's a certain melody that is in you, which is a sign of being spirit-filled, which I'll get to now. There's something about you where it's just your light feathered. You are full of joy. What is the kingdom of God? joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Are you guys with me? Every decision you make has joy in it. Some Christians walk as they're like, their shoulders, the whole weight is on their shoulders. Others can have a smile on their face, doesn't matter what, how they are going through. They have truly encountered the joy of the Lord. And why do you need to know voices? I put a post up yesterday about New Age Jesus, and the thing just went very big. I had a lot of comeback on it. But it's the reality. Because I've seen so many celebrities, motivational speakers, some of them I know personally, that would encounter Christ or have an or be led to God by somebody, to Christ by someone. But because self is still there and the materialistic world, they move to New Age, what we also call New Thought Christianity. So now their language and their terminology has changed to this. They'll always speak of manifesting your future. They always speak about Christ-centeredness, Christ consciousness, being centered, one with the universe. The law of attraction in a way of where I pray according to my own selfish desires. Nothing with what God has said or done. And they don't live the principle of their lives being laid down. Are you guys with me? And they will always have language like love, light in their conversations. And it's a new age spirit. Somebody was giving me a prophecy and they have this new age terminology. I'm thinking, you witch. I won't listen to one word you're saying. Demanding, I need to prophesy. I will give this prophecy. You won't do nothing. Because I have, my senses are trained by maturing and eating on the solid word of God. As I said last week, my senses have been exercised. I can just feel and know, but wait, this is wrong here. This one I can listen to, this one I can't. So a New Age Jesus comes as a counterfeit Christ. It will sound like Christianity. Many mega churches in the United States. Shame, the one guy they encountered, they interviewed. If I mention his name, he's the biggest in TV ministry. And this worldly newsroom interviewed him and said, you know, you're doing such a great work, and man, thank you. And they said, you know, but your book, this is an unbeliever, saying your book, I don't see any scripture in it. Neither do I see the name of Jesus being mentioned in it. You know, so the man's answer was this, well, you know, I'm not a pastor. You know, I'm more called to motivate people. I'm sitting there watching this thing. Well, then shut up, close your church and go be a motivational speaker. You're sitting in millions now and saying, I'm not a pastor. And I'm just called to motivate people. Pastors is not motivational speakers. It is an honor and a privilege to have a fivefold gift and call upon your life. You know, so how many people try to downplay it? No, just don't call me pastor. You know, don't call me prophet. Are you ashamed of what God has anointed you? I see it differently. And I am attacked by it. Trust me. I'm attacked by some of your biggest in this nation because I have that attitude. But if Christ gave me a part of Him to be an extension gift of Him, I'm not going to downplay it and say, I'm so sorry, please don't call me by that title. Oh, no. I'm not forcing titles on anybody either. I'm just saying I find it an honor and a privilege to be called a pastor or a prophet, or to, because it is something that it was by His choosing. That was nothing of my workings. It was by the grace and the election of God. How can I not be thankful? And that is why the church has lost its power. Are you guys with me? So this person and this person's book is full of New Age stuff, but the church don't know it. And the danger is they might start off with a good heart, but if your language and your terminology is wrong, that deception comes in. Speaking about positive energy, good energy. I tell people in the church, they would say to me, sincere, they get saved, they're right. They just say, I feel a bit of negative energy. But I can understand that's where they come out of. Doesn't mean they're wrong. They just come out of that. Now I have to say to them, look, this is, be very careful to use this term. I understand what you're saying. You're meaning the atmosphere. But the terminology can be a great open door. And it can cause great trouble. So rather change your terminology in this. And it's not like it is the, I understand what you're saying, but it's still of the past things of where you were working with energy and this and that. Okay, so this is why we need the voice of God clearly. Are you guys with me? So I said to you, there are three principles. The third principle is, based on the first one being spirit-filled and to what degree I'm spirit-filled and changed into another man. The third one is, will determine whether whatever decision I make will have God's involvement in it. So let's look at how spirit-filled am I and how to get spirit-filled and what it means to be spirit-filled. Just quickly, give me 10 minutes and then we finish. Are you guys with me? So my spirit-filled of yesterday is not for today. And my spirit-filled of today is not for tomorrow. It's like the Israelites in the wilderness, when they received manna from heaven, they were not allowed to store it until the next day. Then it was going off. It had to be, they had to eat it that day and not keep any for the next day. Meaning they had to receive fresh manna, which is another word for revelation. They need to receive fresh revelation every single day, fresh food. Are you guys with me? Meaning you need to receive fresh spiritual food every single, when you have the ability, if five in this church today can catch this revelation, to say if I can be spirit-filled every single day, by what? Prayer, supplication, making my request known to God, thanksgiving, worship, praying in the Spirit, until I'm full and I show certain signs. I'll show you now what the signs are. Are you guys with me? So the definition, let me just give you this. The definition of the law, of this law, is in proportion to the amount of the Spirit of God that is controlling my life. Meaning that your guidance becomes automatic then. It means whatever I do is the will of God, but I have to enter the state of being where I am fully filled with Him. Where Christ is fully formed in me. Get there now. Are you guys with me? So go to Ephesians 5 verse 18. What does it mean to be spirit-filled? Ephesians 5 verse 18 and 19. Listen to this. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Say with you, be filled. In the Greek it says, be ye being filled, which is a continuous sense, which literally means be ye continually filled over and over with the Spirit of God. Verse 19. Listen to this. Speaking to one another. Say with me, to one another. So what are the signs of being spirit-filled? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing. Say with me, singing. Say spiritual songs. And making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hold on. There's one sure sign to know that you are spirit-filled and that you need before you make a decision regarding the guidance of the Lord. It is the phrase, especially when it comes to the Greek, making melody in your heart. Say with him, making melody in your heart. I'm going to speak spiritual things to spiritual people. If you're carnal, you're not going to understand this because I'm not going to be able to logically give it over to you. I need to speak it to you spiritually so that you can understand this. You cannot Or let me well say it like this. This you cannot be taught. You cannot even understand. You'll be able to understand it by faith. And you have to catch what I'm saying here. If you're going to be like, I don't understand. Just relax. You need to grow still a little bit. Okay. I need you to catch this. Say melody in your heart. There is a sign, which I call the number one sure sign to being spirit-filled and to know, and that you must have when you make a decision. It's called having a melody in your heart. It is a spiritual song. It is where the rhythm of your heart, the spiritual beating and the spiritual rhythm of your heart, has the joy that is here in your diaphragm. Now just hold on. Have you ever sat in a place? I understand only if you're from Encounter, you might have experienced this. Have you ever sat in a place where maybe you sit under revelation, or maybe you come from a conference that was intense spirit-filled, and you lie in bed, and I'm giving you what I experience, because many might experience what I experience. So I lie in bed, and it feels like there's this heat, and it feels like there's this beating here of excitement. And usually in that place, you'll have visions. When I say visions, like daydreaming, you'll just be like lying and seeing the future, and you get excited. And as you're seeing the future, you get excited, but it's like something in here is like excited. This is what we call the melody in your heart. If you make a decision without this feeling, you make a wrong decision. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. Meaning you need to get back to the state of being where the melody is in your heart again. Because it was there when you got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. You were so excited, meaning you had a bounce in your step, you had a smile on your face, you had no evil in your heart when you were thinking or speaking to somebody. You couldn't wait to get home or spend time with God. There was a melody that was in your heart that was bouncing up and down. When you go to bed, you thought of Jesus. When you woke up, you thought of Jesus. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. When you couldn't wait to open up your word, because there's something in your heart that was jumping up and down, that has a melody that caused you to become hungry. It is the song of your heart. It is the song of the Spirit that causes the rhythm and the flow of your life. It is to get back to that place. When you're in that state of being, every decision you will make will be of the will of God. It will be like an automatic life that you will be living. Are you guys with me? Say with a melody in my heart. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Zarano Zenahuo Zera. Focus on Him, focus on Him. Meaning get that melody, get that song back in your heart. Get that place of a state of being where there's perfect peace, where there's an automatic guidance system that guides you to just make the right decisions. La bruska denamosketeke de lebenama serana se. Bruska de lebena masko teke de lebe le bruska bre de lebuska darbarke de boy zedoska teke nama zeska teke brodoruska darbombere de nama le bruska darbarke de lebenoske teke de lebena ma zedanos. Focus on Him, church. Raise your le bruska darke de brodoruske teke de lebena ma zerano. God say, fill him right now. Lesta brota de la brodo noskete kede de brodo skete. Touch. Fill afresh. Lesta brodo noskete kede. Touch now. Fresh. Sabruska de la kede noskete. Bruska bere de noske te kede la bai. Fill it afresh. Sabruska bere ka noske te. Fill it afresh. Sabruska bere kede la bondu. And say, Heavenly Father, say it again, say, Heavenly Father, activate my knower, restore to me the melody in my heart, the joy in my heart, the song of the Spirit, the rhythm of my spiritual life. I give you my heart, I give you my spirit. I repent of any hardness of heart, any self-imposed will. Take over my life. I yield my life to you. In Jesus' mighty name, I give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give him a praise offering, church.